Indeed, it is that time of the week again where we say good morning to two people. And they are this week, Michael Leddy. Good morning. I didn't plan an intro.
Good morning, Greg.
Michael How are you? Leddy, who's sitting right beside Katie McGee. Hi, Katie. Good to have
Hello.
You back on board again. How are you all doing?
Good.
How was your week? Anything happen interesting?
No, it was a busy week work-wise, so not a lot of TV for me. But yeah, it was a good week. Very good week.
Right. Well, thank God I very rarely get through your list. So even if you didn't watch much this week, there's plenty to talk about. Katie, how was your week? How is your week going?
Very good. Very good.
What did you do?
Well, as we spoke yesterday, we are now live.
Yes.
Live. No, you're not plugging.
Oh, we're not plugging anything, but just say...
But shop.highlandradio.com is live.
But other than that...
Which looks very pretty,
good.
Actually.
It does look very good, doesn't it?
Very user-friendly, yeah.
Very proud of it.
Show the listeners watching. Now, why do you keep putting Mark McSherry up on the screen? Sorry about that. yeah, there it is. It looks nice.
Yeah.
Nice big images and words.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice, okay. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty.
So there we go. That has been my week, so... And here we are now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I like the way you tied it in there. Oh, that's real professional.
I watched a great program on Netflix, Take Care of Maya. Have you seen it? No?
Take Care of Maya, yeah.
Take Care of Maya.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's about, it's America. The camera crew follow a family. It's a young girl who develops a condition. It reminded me a little bit about like Lyme disease or... similar kind of conditions where you can struggle or did struggle to get a diagnosis in this country, and it can cause bruising or what have you or anything like that there. So the hospital, admitted to hospital, the hospital calls in someone who ensures that the child's not suffering from any domestic abuse or what have you, which all sounds grand. And as it turns out, they believe that the child's being abused through medicine, effectively medical abuse. And it follows the family.
Oh, that's the Munchausen by proxy thing.
Exactly.
Is it really, that's the thing where they...
Yeah.
And what age child? Are you talking about a really small child?
About 6 or 7.
Yeah,
but the cameras are with... Yeah, and they've got great access, though, to audio and visuals from the start of the story, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well. It's not talking heads.
Like, yes.
They only speak to people directly affected by it. And I just thought it was really well put together and well edited and really, really challenging and tough to watch.
I would imagine,
I thought it was excellent. And it's actually, funny enough, there's a case currently at the moment ongoing based on that, so it's really very current as well. It's called Take Care of Maya. As I said, I don't know if I was just in an emotional mood, but I thought it was tough.
But it was put together towards the end, the way it's cut together,
it's wonderful, really, but
it
sad.
It is a tough watch. It is a sad watch, but it is incredibly... powerful how you know decisions can be made and based on what and that kind of thing. I'm not going to say too much in case people decide to watch it themselves, but yeah, I felt it is a tough watch,
you know,
it's definitely worthwhile watch for
and
sure.
Parents are told by people that work with them on the case, it's not the solicitors but advocates, what have you, don't say you didn't do it, don't say you're not doing it, because you'll never see your child again if you contest it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're being told, do not say that you're not doing this. People find themselves in really helpless situations. But I just thought it was really powerful, really good. If any of you out there watched it, tell me what you think. 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Shall we start with the Fall of the House of Usher, Michael?
Yes, okay. This is on Netflix as well, and this is the fifth series from Mike Flanagan. Mm-hmm. Mike Flanagan's the guy who did the fantastic Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, and Midnight Mass. And the less fantastic...
Is Midnight Mass the one where they're out...
On the island.
Okay, I enjoyed that, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the fourth one?
The last one was the Midnight... The previous one was the Midnight Club. And that one was the one that I did not enjoy at all.
Good.
Yeah, last year. It was about a group of terminally ill teenagers who were in a old spooky building. And the premise was that, because again, Mike Flanagan always adapts the work of others, usually with great success. So in this case, he was adapting the books of a novelist who had done a lot of youth novels, basically. And so each episode was a different story being told by one of the patients, and then you had an overarching thing. Didn't work for me at all. I didn't like it. So I was looking forward to The Fall of the House of Usher as a return to form. It's also his final show for Netflix, because he has moved on from his Netflix deal, and I think his new home is at Amazon, but don't hold me to that. I have to say, two episodes into The Fall of House of Usher, I don't really feel like finishing this one.
Okay.
It is adapted from the works of Edgar Allan Poe. The original story, Fall of the House of Usher, is nearly 200 years old at this stage. His stories are considered to be, you know, of the upper echelon of really good horror. And what Flanagan has done is he has put that through his filter and created a series built around one family, and he's going to drop each one of the stories in as something that befalls a member of the family. The show was a little bit notorious a couple of years ago because during production, the original lead actor had to be let go for misbehaving on set, off-colour jokes and that kind of thing. So they had to refilm quite a lot of it and they had to put another actor in. The actor they put in is one of the best things about it. Bruce Greenwood from St. Elsewhere and from the Star Trek movies. And he was in a great show in the 90s called Nowhere Man. He's brilliant. The casting is, again, Flanagan always goes back to the same faces. So if you watched Haunting of Hill House or Midnight Mass or any of the shows, you're going to see a lot of the same people. So the cast are always great. But I find the story this time, it's about a very wealthy and obnoxious family. There's six kids. Each episode will revolve around the sudden, horrible death of each one of the kids. And they're all fighting a court battle because they run a corporation that sells pharmaceuticals, and they're in the midst of a big scandal because obviously people are getting addicted around the country. So they're a horrible group of people. And the idea is that we'll watch them, each one in turn, meet their grisly demise. The grisly demise in episode two was really grisly, but I really didn't care about that kid. He wasn't a kid, he was the youngest, but I didn't care about that guy. I found myself not caring about the family. And I found myself questioning whether I really wanted to follow the story, considering that I stuck with Midnight Club last year, long past the point where I should have given up. And I stuck with it because I thought, well, maybe at the end it'll all come worth it.
Well, why don't you not finish it?
Yeah, I may just pull the plug.
Have we decided?
I would love to hear from somebody who loved it, because the reviews online are pretty good. 89% from critics and 77% from the audience.
But you're amongst the 23.
I'm amongst the 23.
Why do you have to be such a sheep?
I don't. Well, sometimes I feel like if I'm going to chat about something, I should, you know, I should finish it through to the end. But I'm not feeling
it. We'll give you a pass on this.
You're very good. But I would love to hear if anybody's out there who has finished it and loved it. But for me, despite the fact that it's got the great cast and it's got the great visuals of the other Mike Flanagan things, I don't care and I'm not particularly scared. And there's 8 episodes and that's 6 more hours and... No, I don't think so for me.
Yeah,
that's
right,
me.
Okay.
That's me.
I'm not really interested in it.
But you enjoyed Midnight Mass.
I did, but I ground my way through it at the same time. I didn't... I'll tell you, I've started watching the... It's amazing, Katie, when you get to my age. You don't understand it yet. I
won't for quite some time.
I started watching Mindhunter, the first series again.
It's brilliant.
It's like watching it for the first time ever.
I thought Mindhunter was
amazing. I felt like texting myself and saying, I know you're right, it was brilliant, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Are they talking about making a season two of that?
I don't care. Just rewatch season one. Season two on Netflix.
Oh, is it?
Yes, dear.
Oh, but okay.
Season three, then you're on.
Season three.
Yeah.
I'm watching it again. It's like, oh my God, what happens next? I watched Kiss the Girls last night.
That's a brilliant film.
I watched it 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't figure out who it was till the very end.
That's definitely what's going on.
Okay, yeah, that's...
But anyway, I remembered enough of it to ruin it, but no, I'm going to do more of that.
You're like the mirror image of me, because as Donald sometimes refers, I like to drag out a show. So I might watch an episode of a show in January of one year and wait till June of the following year. And I always remember, I'm like, oh, that cliffhanger from 18 months ago, I'm dying to see. And actually, there's a show I'm watching with George Clooney. He did a cop show in the 90s. And I've been a year and a half on the cliffhanger. I know exactly what the cliffhanger is and what's coming next.
Arms must be hanging off you at this stage. That's a long cliffhanger. But anyway, right, okay, so... I mean, you can't give The Fall of the House of Usher anything other than 2 out of 10.
I'm giving it like a 4.
Why? Well,
because
it,
I like the cast.
If you give it more than 2, finish it.
Okay, well, I'm going for the cast. I mean, you've got Carla Gugino, you've got Henry Thomas.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
How
2 out of 10. No, 2 out of 10.
I don't want to bully you. But how can you, if you're not going
like
to finish it.
I'm giving it a lot of pressure here. I love
if
the
you
cast.
Can't finish it.
Yeah, but you know when you really love the cast? I mean, Henry Thomas, you know.
Well, then watch the first episode 8 times.
Do a Greg. Do a Greg. That's called doing a Greg.
Right, okay. There's many's a MasterChef, but Katie's decided to review MasterChef Australia for us.
Well, Listen, this is probably one that that the Irish people don't get to watch that often because it's actually not on mainstream TV, but it is on Prime, which I only realise it's on Prime there, season 1 to 11 during the week. So I'm 11? Actually watching reruns of it. Oh, there's 15 seasons of it so far. MasterChef Australia is the number one show of the MasterChef series. So it's all over the world, but... obviously the UK being the first one, but Australia is actually it's amazing.
It's big.
It's really okay. Good. Like, they have all kinds of really big chefs on it. Marco Pierre White.
How tall is he?
Does it follow the same? It's a format, it,
it
though,
doesn't
isn't it?
Really follow the same format. Mm. It's much more exciting. The level of cooking now. Listen, I'm talking about this because, first of all, it's really light. And second of all, after the last time I was in and people were kind of wondering why we don't talk about like soaps and stuff like that, this is ideal for people who like cookery shows. It is brilliant. It's really exciting, really engaging. The level of cooking is like professional level for home cooks, you know, but they're expected to do like... So, like, say, for example, they have elimination challenges where they have to maybe cook like a dessert that's made by like a 3-hat chef in Australia. Like, and it really is really good. And the format's really, really brilliant as well. They have like every week is something different.
I find the problem with the I used to like the watching the BBC's MasterChef. But it's hard to know when it's on or to be available for when to watch it. So if it's all on a streaming platform, it makes it all much easier, doesn't it?
It is, yeah. And I listen, it, like I say, it is. Like, there's a lot of people out there who
Do they ever stick any prawns on the barbie? Or is that...
They actually do. They have challenges, like restaurant challenges. I know it's the same, and that's one that's similar to the UK one where they have to go in and take over a restaurant. It's like a team challenge. One that I really enjoy is they have... a team challenge where they'll have one person one side of a wall and the other person the other side of the wall, and they both have to cook the same thing, but they have to work through communication through this wall.
Sounds like they stole ideas from lots of other shows. Because I've seen that before in a different show.
MasterChef Australia?
No. but I also saw that thing whereby they have to copy the dish.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay does that.
Well, he presents the MasterChef US, which was actually, that was actually taken from Australia.
Oh, there you go. Oh, so that's there you go. Oh, nice. Speaking of MasterChef, I was in the shop there recently and I discovered a massive bag of frozen mashed potatoes.
Well.
Okay. Now, listen.
Right.
They come in like little, like, they're like marshmallows, sort of. You know, they're circular.
Yeah.
Right. And you put them in a plate, on a plate, and you microwave them for 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, actually tastes like mashed potato. It's delicious. Frozen mashed potato.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd be...
Really? Has anyone tried the frozen mashed potatoes? 086 60 25,000. I think, no, it's brilliant. Because I don't want to peel spuds.
Yeah.
Well,
there's no frozen mash on MasterChef Australia.
How do you know?
Because I watched them cook and I have faith.
Did you watch all 15 seasons?
I have watched.
Oh, my God.
Wait to see season 14 actually, when they whip out the frozen spuds.
Yeah. No, it is. It's a really, really worthwhile watch for anybody.
And it's all on Prime, so you can binge the whole lot.
Season 1 to 11 is on Prime.
What season are you on now?
I've actually watched them all, so I'm re-watching. So I'm back to season 4.
When did you start?
I started it...
Tuesday.
No, I started it probably
no
about...
No cliffhangers here.
No cliffhangers.
Probably about 6 or 7 years ago I started.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So
I thought you were going to say 3 months.
That's okay. Okay.
Each episode is about between 45 minutes and an hour long, depending on sort of what the challenge is, whether it's somebody's
it's
getting
It's your little treat for yourself when you get 5 minutes, you can bang it on.
Yeah, yeah, it's just really, it's really light TV. Do you know something that you kind of want to put on after, you know, for me, when I get the kids to bed?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to track something. You want to. It's also, I like shows where you can nip for a wee and not pause it.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to miss anything.
Another thing I like about it is they don't hate each other. Do you know the way on a lot of the American ones, there's kind of this, the entertainment factor is
pitting them against each other.
Yes,
so that, okay, all right,
is the fighting that goes on and all that kind of thing. Whereas I kind of don't really get much from that. Everyone's rooting for each other, and then you're kind of rooting for everyone. It's just
that,
like,
does sound nice. Yeah,
nice,
that does sound
nice.
Yeah,
thing, yeah. You know.
All right, Katie McGee, Michael Letty, and you wherever you are. 086 60 25,000. Back with more after the break. The Cathedral Quarter Literary Festival 2023 is getting underway. This year's theme is Behan 100. It's in celebration of the 100th anniversary of the birth of Irish writer Brendan Behan. Now, the guest of honour for the festival is Brendan Behan's daughter, Blanad Behan Walker, who is with us in studio now. Good morning to you and thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Greg. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, what is it like taking part in events like this, celebrating the work of your father?
Well, I did come a couple of years ago because the festival very kindly did a celebration of the 60th anniversary of my father's visit to Donegal. And certainly Donegal was a county that was very close to both my parents' heart. So I'm delighted to be able to come and help celebrate the centenary event that the festival are running this year, which has lots of things going on.
Yeah, there's a full-packed programme, which we can't go through, but later we'll direct people to it. I suppose when someone's in the public eye, everyone has a view or an opinion or a take. What's your take on your father? What is he to you?
Well, I think he was an immensely talented man who died, you know, way before his time. But I think, unfortunately, the era in which he lived, I mean, if someone of his ability had been around now, there would have certainly been more help and guidance for someone who comes from a very modest background and ascends those sort of heady heights of fame where, you know, I think events basically, you know, go way beyond your bounds of experience. And, you know, my father always had a liking for a drink, and I think nowadays the help would have been available, you know, to perhaps get him back on track. But in those days, you know, he became a stage Irishman, and it became an image, if you like, which he unfortunately felt obliged to live up to, and was left very much on his own. I mean, in those days, there was no teams of minders around you. You know, so he was kind of encouraged to drink, if you like, I think, by a lot of people who found that sort of entertaining, because he was a bit of a loose cannon, as we know, when he'd had a few jars and appeared on live television.
Yeah. And of course, you know, there's great works that we've all been robbed of. But I mean, it's very personal to you as well. It's your father that you've had missed opportunity with.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's, you know, obviously as a child, you know no different.
Yes.
And because he died when I was so young, I was only 6 months old when he died. So I never knew him. So I have sort of grown up with the image. And obviously his works and his plays, which obviously I've seen. And obviously my mother had some fantastic stories about living with him. But again, I mean, they were together for 10 years. My father was just 41 when he died. Very tragically, but she knew that there was nothing, you know, there was nothing she could have done basically to
prevent. It's a story from a long time ago, but
it
particularly
is.
Sitting in on shows like this, even to this day, it's a kind of a familiar story too, as well.
Absolutely, and I think the thing, I mean, what is really important about things like the literary festival here and other events that are held, that my father is now starting to be realised as a talent, as a major writing talent, rather than just someone who is, you know, a drinker, basically.
I would say that's nice for you.
It's phenomenally nice because it's just things like, you know, years ago people thought, you know, the way to go was the sort of Brendan Behan bar image. You know, you'd open a bar and call it the Brendan Behan bar. And that's not really the way I wanted my father remembered.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting because often things don't go that way. They go the other way. Is this a festival that you've been involved in or attended, Michael Eddy?
I'm aware of it. I was involved to some degree this year because here at Highland Radio we recorded one of your father's plays, and it was broadcast over the last 2 weeks. And again, I will happily add my voice to the chorus because it's such a lovely piece of text and it comes out very well. I could easily visualise it on stage. I thought I think it translates very well to the radio. It's been on, say, the last couple of weeks. But again, such a great piece, and it's great that the people behind this literary festival brought it to life and brought it to life in a new and exciting way by bringing it out in Highland and stuff like that. So I was involved this year. But in the past, yeah, I mean, the festival has been going for a while. They kept going through the lockdown by going virtual. I mean, there's a great drive and passion to keep doing the work they're doing, which is great.
Yeah, and that work that you talk of that you were involved with, for anyone who's got, oh, I missed that. No, you haven't. It's available on our website at highlandradio.com. You're in conversation with Fionnuala Rabbitt of this parish, Frank Galligan, journalist and Ulster Television news presenter Gareth Wilkinson, also who is of this parish formerly as well. We've done a little bit of it in exploring the impact and influence of the works of Brendan Behan had on their careers, and also a Q&A session to close. But what an amazing person to have in there, his own flesh and blood, to sort of be part of that conversation and to field some of those questions, Blanard.
Yes, well, as I say, it's a real delight to be here, and you know, we get such a warm welcome when we come to Donegal. And we did manage to attend in 2021, but obviously it was a little bit more complicated then, because obviously we're just coming out of all the COVID restrictions, and I think obviously, you know, a lot of people still felt slightly nervous about going to big gatherings and public gatherings. So this year I'm hopeful that things will be a little bit more normal, because there's a writing masterclass on, which will be very interesting. And
On the Behan Legacy. It's tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in Dillon's Hotel, very central in Letterkenny. Admission just €5 at the door as well. So
I know,
it's accessible.
A complete bargain.
I know.
There's also tonight is a free event, I believe, the screening of Sheila Frill's film, the about the Laughing Boy, about the influence of my father's song, The Laughing Boy, which is actually sung in The Hostage, and is just very, you know, a very moving piece of work. But it was apparently, which I knew nothing about, was adopted by the sort of left-wing movement during the revolution in Greece in the sort of late 60s. And they used the tune as part of their anthem. So quite an interesting film, and some nice, you know, musical interludes as well, not just Irish music, but Greek music, and showing the connection. It's something I knew nothing about, so very interesting.
Lovely. So there's a whole host of events over the course of the weekend. Early afternoon, mid-afternoon, evening, evening time, mornings as well. Too much for me to go through, but if you go to the Cathedral Quarter Letterkenny Facebook page or the web there, I'm sure you'll get all that information. Blanard, thank you so much for calling up. I really do appreciate it.
I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah, thank excellent. Okay, and really enjoy your stay. And it's nice that you're able to do it with a bit more freedom, obviously, because when you were last here.
Absolutely, and I'm loving the Donegal weather. I mean, it's like last time it was so nice. When I came in October a couple of years ago, I actually went and had a swim in the sea. And I'm looking out at the weather now going, oh, because my father used to love swimming in Donegal. That was one of the things he would do as soon as he came here. He would hit the beach, and it did not matter what time of year.
Sunday is going to be a good day.
Well, I might brave the depth. You know, we should see some crazy woman in a swimming costume on the beach.
There's a big difference between the water temperature and the air temperature.
Absolutely.
So we will not be taking any of your excuses. Okay. Well, listen, enjoy the rest of your
stay.
Thank
you so much.
And it's great to have you up. Blanard Behan-Walker there, daughter of Brendan Behan. Check out Letterkenny Cathedral Quarter for more information. We'll be back after the break. Rosemary Cassidy's watching on Facebook. Hi, Rosemary. She says, yes, Greg, the frozen mashed potatoes are brilliant and so easy to cook. No, Rosemary, I'm sorry. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the frozen potatoes that have already been peeled and frozen. I'm on about mashed potato. It's been made and it's frozen into little things like marshmallows. Bang it in the microwave, bit of milk, away you go.
It's the greatest
happy
thing
days.
That's happened
it's
to
the
you
greatest
in 6 months.
Day since they sliced the bread for you. Right, okay. Firefly Lane, Katie.
Yes. Firefly Lane. I really enjoyed this, actually, and Michael and I were talking about
that microphone. You don't want to knock it.
Huh?
You don't want to bang into the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
What?
It's miles away from me.
Okay, is it?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It's I started watching it. I watched episode one kind of.
Good place to start.
Yeah. A good while ago, and then I kind of thought I wouldn't like it, so I stopped watching, and then I went back to it. And it is stars Katherine Heigl and Sarah Chalke. So Sarah Chalke, you'd recognise from Scrubs. She was Dr. Elliot in Scrubs.
Yeah. Very, very funny lady.
Very funny.
Very funny.
Yeah. Slightly different role in this show, mind you. But it's basically about these two girls who became friends in high school, we'll say, right? And their friendship is basically reviewed over 3 decades. So that it starts kind of in the 70s and it kind of flicks back and forth from the 70s when they were in school, their early adulthood, so from college to kind of start and work and that kind of thing, to present day.
Mm-hmm.
Michael had asked me, is it a believable friendship? It really is a believable friendship. And the kind of the different characters, you know, so you have one character that's sort of hardened by knocks in life and that kind of thing. Her mother is sort of your quintessential 70s, you know, hippie.
Hippie type?
Yeah,
okay.
And then the other one comes from a more stable kind of 2.4 family background. So it kind of is how they navigate certain situations throughout the years and that, and how their different upbringings affect their beliefs and that kind of thing. But it is actually, it's a really enjoyable watch again. Some really sad moments in it, but really enjoyable actually. And again, the episodes are kind of nice and lengthy, so you can watch one or watch many, but I think the episodes again are about 45 minutes
brilliant.
Long.
Brilliant. It's on Netflix, Firefly Lane. That's okay, Connell Gallen is in studio with us. Up the Pole is his latest comedy play. It's on Green on Theatre, Letterkenny. Rory, who's over my left shoulder here, is a co-writer and partner, writing partner on it. Talk to us about this. How long has this been? Sorry, where have my manners gone, Connell? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Yeah.
I just watched you come in and say hello to everyone. I thought, right, we've done that. Good morning to you. A new play. Exciting.
Yeah, number 7.
Yeah.
In the trilogy.
Yes. You overshot the runway.
Yeah, I think a wee bit, yeah. No, number 7. And this one, we're getting great reviews on this one, more so than any. I think it's maybe politics might be part of it, you know.
Mm.
It's Up the Pole, basic story. Bridie Murphy, who's been in all the productions, has decided to stand for election mainly because she heard how much they got. And has no scruples, no redeeming features. And at one stage she has her parish priest as the treasurer, a parish priest who's always away on cruises and, you know, safaris with his housekeeper.
Wow.
Well, with the spiritual.
Yeah.
Spiritual safaris and that. Yeah. So he's the treasurer. At one stage he says to her about something. He says, are you sure this is you know, legal, ethical? Is it legal? And her great line is, listen, Father, we're in politics now. The law doesn't apply to us. So it's full of wee truths.
So it's art imitating life, life imitating art.
It's whichever way, okay.
So Bridie returns, as does Willie.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's kind of topical, but it's with politics, and I think with everyone being so switched on to it and having their own views on it, it doesn't write itself, but... You know, you can really go places with it, can't you?
Well,
material-wise.
Well, politics, you just got to read the papers, yeah. I mean. And you read some things and you're going, they didn't. There's no way they got away with that. But they, you know what I mean? And we all accept it. I mean, we have politicians in this country who have been practically convicted and then were re-elected with bigger majorities.
Well, we love an underdog.
No, so, we love a criminal.
So I have to be slightly more careful with my first language.
I wasn't comparing the two.
No.
But no, we do. We do, you know. I mean, it's we're fascinated by them.
Yeah.
You know, and you're sort of wondering how much can they screw off us next.
I don't know. I think we hate people until everyone else hates them and then we defend them and love them.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much now, but certainly there's been characters in the past that they could do no wrong.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Characters, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Including, Bridie Murphy. So is it locals or national elections she's running in or what?
Oh, national.
Oh, of course. Yeah. She's not going to mess around at council level.
In the south of Ireland, we had to have sort of two variations of the same play because the characters. In the south of Ireland, her main opposition, the incumbent candidate, is... we don't mention parties now, but his name is... Martin Mayhall.
Yeah. Okay. I can't imagine who that might be referencing.
Yes, yeah, have a guess. And then in Northern Ireland, then the main protagonist is Donald Jefferson.
Right, okay.
So it was either going to be Donald Jefferson or Willie Sampson.
Right, okay. You just couldn't decide on which one is which. And it's kind of interesting. You change the names. Do you have to change much of the script? from north to south.
Bits and pieces, well, pounds and euros, aye, but, yeah. And MLA instead of TD, yeah. And stuff. You know,
but it just actually goes, so it's all the same, really. You just have to move the names around.
Oh, yeah, but when you're on stage, sometimes if you're... I mean, for example, we're in Enniskillen tonight, Northern Ireland, and we're in Mullingar tomorrow night. So, you know what I mean? Mm. You've got to change overnight, you know. So sometimes an odd mistake is made.
But that can be, I'm sure you make the most of that too sometimes.
Oh yeah. Well, I make enough mistakes, yeah. That's for sure, so I have to.
How strictly do you stick to the script?
Initially, yes.
I mean, obviously the joke, I mean, obviously there's key points that you want to retain, obviously, because you know where they hit and where they land and all, but is there a little bit of latitude outside of that?
Complete. Mm. There is complete latitude because there's only three of us on stage, even though there's nine characters. So there's plenty of room for mistakes, but the guys, Paddy and Jack, that we work with, won't let you away with it.
Yeah.
If we make a mistake, you highlight it.
Yeah. And then you wait in the long grass until such time as
they do. I said to Father O'Reilly, who also plays the part of Willie, he says, "Where's Willie?" I says, "He's in the kitchen." I says, "I think he's learning his lines." Which was...
Brilliant.
You know, that type of thing, you know.
Exactly. Now, you can put it together and test it out and see who laughs, who doesn't laugh and all that kind of stuff, but you don't really know the success of something until you put it in front of an audience.
Exactly.
I would hate that week or two leading up to that.
Our very first play, A Bit on the Side, and this was our very first foray into it, and we were in the Balor Theatre in Ballor. We always start in Ballor because the Ballor is a wonderful place and wonderful people, and they always let us in days before the premiere, so we have the use of the theatre, everything. They're really good to us. But on the first play, he was up in the sound desk and we were backstage and we'd done the first bit of a scene, and that is nerves. Because you're thinking, I wonder will they get this? Are they in the, you know, are they on the same lane? And then you hear the laughter, and then you go, ah.
Relax.
Yeah, because we know if they laughed at this part, then they're going to enjoy the rest of it, you know. It is. But I mean, the joy, I tell you what the biggest joy is writing it.
Yeah.
Myself and Rory sit, days we're writing it's rubbish and we just throw it away. But when we're doing it, we did it outside one summer. And with a girl work for us, she was looking out the office window. She says, "If anybody came along there and saw the two of you, she'd be locked up." Because we were discussing the play and putting down a bit, and then we get up and act it and moving about, like, you know, and like a silent movie. What?
But I suppose it's like writing music too, in that, you know, this is number seven. So you know what you can do to make people laugh. You know what your audience wants. You're always bringing in new, don't get me wrong, but you know what works.
Yeah.
So it... Probably as you get on a bit, it makes it a little bit easier.
And again, you learn with every show, with every play. You know, you learn what works, what doesn't work, what might work. I mean, one of the plays we had a particular scene that was all played off stage, and one of the cast thought, "It'll never work. You won't hold the audience." And we sort of said, "Look, trust us." And it worked.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, you're always evolving, of course.
Because what you're doing there is the audience are imagining.
Yeah. Is there a huge difference in audiences from place to place? Like, do you have a county, not mention it because it's a small little world we live in, but, you know, where it's a tougher crowd versus others, or are we very similar on the island? I'm not asking you to mention anything, Conor.
Yeah. One particular show, we did a show on a Friday night, it went down a storm, absolute storm, and then we came to this place on the Saturday night, and we actually had an inquest during the interval, up in the dressing room, as to, what's gone wrong?
Are the mics on?
Yeah, you know what I mean, can they hear this? Mm. You know? And Rory comes down and says, I don't know, he says, it's very, you know, it's lit and it's the sound and again, and it was, and then it's a weird thinking, geez, what happened here? Especially after the night before. So then afterwards, we always do a meet and greet, you know, so we're going down and think, oh, geez, we're going to hear some. Everybody come out, it was brilliant, never enjoyed anything.
When just
you
go, vocal.
Oh, they were just... they were just a type of...
Reserved.
I could say more here and it would... I could actually say one more.
I can
more,
actually don't have
one
to
word and it would explain
because you've said
everything.
Yeah. Okay. I'd say tell the whole class, but I'm not sure I want to. Right, okay, so Up the Pole, it's the latest comedy play. It's in on Green on Theatre, Letterkenny. Conall Gallen and his writing partner and son Rory as well. And it's the story of Bridie Murphy, a lovable battle axe living in... Where is she living?
You know the way Irish place names, you read them one way, but they're actually pronounced.
Yeah.
She lives in Chitauli.
Oh, Chitauli. Okay, that's fine. Right, it's okay. But just make sure of the pacing on that.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
She lives there with her husband, Willie.
14.
And she's going to run for election. And apparently she's... one political commentator has put it as such. She even makes Trump look intelligent.
Yes. Okay, which, yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
Tour America with this one, by the
no,
way.
No.
Just
no,
stay
no.
here. Oh, we've maybe, had a, maybe drop that quote.
We've had Americans at the show, yes.
Okay. And tickets, I think, €30. You know, very, really reasonable considering it's a big show with a number of people on stage. It's on Friday, October 27th. It's at 8 p.m. Good night of the week. €30 per ticket, inclusive of booking fee. Get on to the box office there at on Greenon and secure your seat. So that's Friday, October 27th, the brand new show from Conall Gallen and team. It's called Up the Pole. Do you enjoy it, Conall, still? I mean, what's the combination between work and fun?
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun. It's...
For you personally, the audience.
No, no.
90% work, 10%. No, yeah, for you.
Hopefully the audience is 100% no work. But no, for us, of course it's work, and you lose weight every night and you sweat, you know. And it's like playing football for a great team and winning every night. But you know, so you say, well, I'd love to play again tomorrow night. You know, and that's the way.
Excellent.
But is it fun? We four of us travel together in one car. Rory drives, and myself and Paddy and Jack, and we've been touring for 10 years overall. And in the 10 years, the radio has never been switched on. No fault to it. Island
no,
radio.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
you know each other inside out.
And the crack is mighty. I love the writing part. I love the rehearsal. And I love the shows.
Brilliant. Okay.
We have it all down to a sort of a fine art. We arrive at it. There's two other guys in as well. They come with the set. They're there earlier. So by the time we get usually there at 5 o'clock, and we do our sound checks and prop checks and all the stuff, and whatever specials on lights, and we get everything done. And we're always sitting down for dinner at 6 o'clock.
Brilliant. You've it down to a T. Yeah.
And that means you get back to the theatre in good time and... You're ready to go.
Brilliant. Okay. So. All right, Up the Pole from Conall Gallen and team. It's in on Greenon on the 27th of October at 8 p.m. The price is €30. That includes your booking fee as well. Continued success with it, and we'll chat to you again soon, Conall.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Lovely, calling.
Lovely to be right. Sitting along with these people.
Hi, who are they? The Root of Evil at the Bala Theatre. Has that happened yet? Have you seen it?
Next
or are you
week.
Flagging it?
No, I'm flagging it for next week.
Stay on the stage. Why don't
stay
we?
On the stage, exactly. Yeah. So The Root of All Evil next Friday night, October 27th. This is Butt Drama Circle's 2023 entry in the All-Ireland One Act Drama Festival.
What's one act mean?
It means that it's probably a play of about 45 minutes to 50 minutes as opposed to like a 2 hours. Yeah, exactly. It's a shorter. Now, one of the reasons to flag this, as well as the fact that it'll be a good night out in the theatre, it's written by Conor Malone, so our own Conor, who sometimes joins us here on the show, and directed by Sean Lafferty. So Friday night story, not giving away too much, just looking at the website, it's a village once upon a time in the mists of history, and there's no such thing as money. People just live their lives bartering, and then
what do they barter with?
Well, I suppose their skills, I presume. You know, if you were a baker, you barter that as whatever, and then a mysterious,
so it's a currency.
And then apparently a mysterious stranger comes to town and bringing with them the root of all evil.
It's like when Katie's a guest on this slot, isn't it?
A stranger comes to town. Mysterious stranger.
The root of all evil.
Because when Katie came in earlier, the lighting and everything behind, she was completely in shadow. It was like a silhouette. It was very dramatic. It was excellent. So yeah, it's a stranger comes to town and everything changes in this village. So that's next Friday night. It's in the Baller. Baller is always a good... I was up there for Drumbo last weekend. Fantastic show. And it is a great theatre. we were just chatting about it there. Yeah, it's a fantastic theatre, and that's next Friday night.
Brilliant stuff. That's in the Baller. Okay, the Baller, yes. Get onto the box office there. Just to let you know, by the way, coming up after us here, John Breslin. He's live from Inishowen. He's live from Drumkeen. At iMotors, he's in Drumkeen for the launch of their 241 Open Weekend, which is taking place this weekend. So join John and the team at iMotors in Drumkeen for the launch of their 241 Open Weekend. They normally look after people quite well there in terms of maybe, I don't know if there's any food or anything, but anyway, if there is, let me know. I'll call it on the way past. Right, okay, Motherland, Katie.
Yes.
What's
yes.
this all about?
Well, it ran on the BBC, first of all, from 2016 to 2023, and it's now available on Netflix. Mm. It is an English comedy, so it is based around sort of four mothers of very different, we'll say,
backgrounds
yeah. again. So you have one who's quite posh, well-to-do, very sort of, you know, a load of sideways comments coming from her. You've got another mother who's sort of like trying to hold down a pretty successful career, and then all of a sudden comes without childcare. So she's trying to manage her job, her very successful job, and then her children, which in a comedic way kind of become sort of in the way, if you like, of her, yeah, of her life. Yeah. And a single mother then, and then you've got this woman who's basically just having kids left and right. So it's basically how they navigate their friendship and how they navigate one another, you know. And it kind of brings about real struggles for mothers, I would say.
It's relatable.
Very relatable, and then brings it into a comedy setting. Yeah. Like, you know,
and they've given themselves a ton of source material there with the various different scenarios that can exist.
Like, yeah. You know, like the one who plays the kind of more well-to-do mother, I don't know the actress's name, but she was in...
Here we go.
You can't sit in that chair and do a review unless you have a point where you go, I don't know the names of any of the people in this.
Yeah. Oh, come on, let's play the game. What was she in?
She was in New Girl. She's been in
the American show, New Girl.
New Girl, yeah. She was the teacher. You know, the one who kind of was the teacher who started going out with the ex-boyfriend.
This doesn't happen anyway, on the film review on BBC Five. They must cut it out.
They're just amateurs. They don't know how to do it.
We like to keep it real.
Yeah,
here,
keep it real.
You know? Like people go, oh,
people
yeah,
can
I
play
know.
Along at home.
Exactly. I know who she's talking about. I know.
People
don't
are
worry
screaming
about
at the wireless right exactly. now. I know her name. I know her name.
But anyway, she's a really good comedy actress. One of them is another lady. Again, don't know her name. But she was in The Afterlife. She played the kind of uptight woman from The Office that was in with Ricky Gervais.
Yes.
You know, so there's a couple of very familiar faces in it. It is very, very funny.
Is that Diane Morgan?
She doesn't know.
No. She's fabulous.
This is like playing charades, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're miming out something they haven't actually been told what it is. So two words, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Two words, first words, there.
Yeah.
If that's who it is, then I'm on board because she's fabulous.
It's very, very funny.
It may or may not be her.
It may or may not be her.
No,
it's 50-50. It is.
Actually, I don't. Do you know your one, Crunk? You know,
yeah.
Yes.
Her. It's her. Oh, yeah. She's amazing. Yeah. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
This show sounds interesting because it sounds like it's based on a Canadian show that's also on Netflix that I reference here a couple of times called Working Moms.
It's very similar.
It's very. Yeah. I love Working Moms. Yeah. So this sounds like the same show.
It's
but done
it's
in the UK.
Similar enough. Yeah.
Okay. See, it could be inspired by like in the credits, you know, where it gives the names of the actors and actors that you don't look at. They might say, Katie, inspired
Hold
by
on
the
a second.
Canadian.
One. Give her a break. Give Katie a break. Because what happens is as soon. No, you don't. Because as soon as the credits come up, they shrink into the corner of the screen
and they start
shoving another program down your throat.
That's true.
Yeah. This is exactly my
there
point.
There you go, Katie. That's the point you were trying to make
exactly,
in the beginning.
It exactly is. But actually, just to not to leave out the male character in it, because I actually forgot, but he's actually really, really funny. There's like a kind of a...
What was he in?
I haven't seen him in anything else, actually. But he's sort of the stay-at-home dad, who crochets and, you know, like is really good at...
Does he do yoga?
Does he do... I think he does like a, he does do like a gym class or something like that with all the other mothers. Yeah, like it's really funny.
It's kind of really funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's very, very enjoyable. Again, short enough episodes. I think they're about 20, 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
So again, it's a bite-sized comedy.
Yes.
Good. Absolutely.
Good. You're really in a bite-sized kind of mood, aren't you?
Well, actually, no, because the other ones I reviewed were 45 to an hour.
Okay. All right. Pardon me for breathing.
They're coming back with facts.
Right. Like the Inishowen Choir.
The only fact I've given so far.
Was your name when I says, hello, Katie, and you confirmed, yes, I am Katie. Outside of that, I'm somewhat uncertain of names.
Yeah. Liquid facts, I like to call them.
And she's written her own name down on a sheet of paper in front of her. Inishowen Choir of Ages and Friends present an evening of music to celebrate World Singing Day. It's on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in the Lake of Shadows Hotel. Donations at the door. The Inishowen Choir of Ages will be there. They've been in here before. Superb outfit. Anne Biddy's going to be there. You'll know Anne. Bree Carr, of course. Bernie Doherty and many, many more. So some very familiar names and a strong lineup there for the Inishowen Choir of Ages and Friends. It's in the Lake of Shadows Hotel Saturday, 7:30. Katie, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it. Lovely to have you in. Thank you so much,
no problem.
Katie.
Enjoy.
Mickey there. And go to shop.highlandradio.com for all your Highland needs. And also, thank you very much for calling in.
As always,
Michael. Thank you. Have a lovely weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday, all being well.